Happy New Year. It's lovely to see you all. And I just thought I'd share a very small thought going forth, to, especially this time of year when we're trying to make decisions and work on various bits of our lives that we want to make better. First and foremost, we'll go to St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So God has made us. For our good things and our bad things, for our benefits and our drawbacks, for the wonderful things in us, and for the huge challenges we sometimes have, God made us. He created us, He made us, and He made us exactly how we are. And it is by the grace of God. So there are things about us that need changing. There are things about us that will need to become better. But if we are what we are, who we are, by the grace of God, surely in essence, that must be good. And I think that's one message we miss quite a lot. I don't know, if you've been listening to me over the last couple of days, I've had a few sort of sermons and youth talks over the last couple of days. This theme keeps coming up because I think it is so misunderstood. We are more than happy to constantly tell each other where we fall short. We are more than happy to constantly tell each other how bad we are at some things. And the eye we look to others through is often very negative. I look at people and I will very easily see faults. And some people pride themselves on this. You know, I can see through and I can always see things. And seriously, that's not something to pride yourself on. It's one of my many flaws is that I have a very geometric view of things. So if I walk in to my office or room or something and something is a little bit off in terms of its balance, if it's not exactly horizontal, exactly vertical, then I want to fix it. You know, I go into people's houses and see paintings that are hanging there, and my first aid urge is to go and fix it. Now, surely my life would be much easier if I didn't have this little quirk. That's just very much the same as the quirks we have in our lives when we criticize other people. Our lives would be so much easier if I could look at the faces of others and the lives of others and see the beautiful things in them. I'm not saying be naive. I'm not saying be delusional. Of course we see good and bad, but to merely focus on the bad and focus on the negative is exhausting. It's exhausting to the people I'm dealing with because they know what's going on in my mind, and it's exhausting to me because I am constantly critical. And that comes at a huge cost. To be someone who looks at beautiful things and recognizes beauty and looks at people and recognizes the good things in them is far better than to feel that we are constantly assessing and analyzing everyone's character and telling them where they've gone wrong, what they should do better, or even our own minds making that judgment. There is a more dangerous complication with that, though. And think about this, tell me if I'm wrong. Usually, if my view is like that of other people, it would be like that of myself as well. Even if I don't notice it, even if I don't admit it, acknowledge it, if I am extra critical of others, then I am intentionally, unintentionally, directly, indirectly going to be extra critical of myself. And another huge burden we carry is looking at ourselves as constantly negative, constantly bad, and therefore falling short, and therefore either, well, not worth the effort, so why should I try to do good anyway, or writing ourselves off and choosing a totally different life because the life I'm trying to live is just inconsistent with how I see myself to be. Gospel of St. Luke chapter 9 verse 55. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, are with our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes out of a town and they ridicule him. And they turn instantly and say, do you want us to pray for fire to come down and consume these people? And our Lord turns and rebukes them. He rebukes them and he says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. You don't know who you are. If you knew who you were, if you knew how I made you, you wouldn't possibly ask me if you wanted fire to come down from heaven and consume these people, because you would know that you are my image and likeness and I came down for these people who you want to burn. And FYI, if I was going to go around, this is God speaking, not me, just to be reassured. If I was going to go around and burn everyone who upset me, we're all going to be on the list. So the mere fact that we are not on that list, the mere fact that he is our Savior, the mere fact that he came down for the whole of humanity, means that I need to appreciate humanity in exactly the same way. To know who I am, and through knowing who I am, to also know who other people are. So if I know who I am, as the image and likeness of God, then surely every other human being created in the same way, in the same manner, is the image and likeness of God as well. So I will also deal very differently with these other people. We try to put ourselves in one of two camps. And if we look at the story of the prodigal son, you have the main protagonist, the son, who takes wealth, goes, squanders it, lives in poverty, comes back broken, and his father, who rejoiced at his coming. So we put ourselves quite often in the space of the son. But then when we do good deeds, we sometimes put ourselves in the place of the older son, who got so upset in the Gospel of St. Luke, when he came back and he heard music and celebration coming from his house, called one of the servants and said, what's happening? He said, your brother has returned and your father is rejoicing. And he was upset. He was upset. You know what? I'm the good guy. So we either put ourselves here with the bad guy or over here with the good guy. I'm the good guy. I've been here with you. You've never celebrated me. You've never even given me a goat so I could, you know, have a barbecue with my friends. Why? And the father's words in Luke 15 are really important. He said, son, you are with me always, and all I have is yours. We are far more than what we just pick up along the way. We are far more than our job titles and our salaries and our relationships. We're more than that. We're more than the benefits of this world. We're more than what we do for ourselves. The bulk of who we are, the bulk of what we are, is the glory that is given to us by God in creating us first and then adopting us as his children and saying to me, son or daughter, you are with me always and all I have is yours. If you look at this and what it means, from the very beginning when God created us, he gave us his image and his likeness. Son, all I have is yours. I've given you my image. I've given you my likeness. I've given you my breath to give you life. And even when you made a mistake, I came down myself and I have given myself for your redemption. That's how much I love you. And so therefore, I want you to understand that and I want you to love yourself in the same way. Now, why am I sharing this? I'm sharing this because this is a time of year of self-assessment. We look at ourselves, we look at what we're doing, we look at how far we've come, all of these things. We often start from where we fall short. we often start with condemning ourselves. It's like immediately when you assess your health, it's how much weight do I need to lose? How much tall do I need to be? How much darker is my complexion or lighter is my complexion need to be? We pick at defaults. Because obviously that's what we've been taught. We've been taught to look at our shortfalls and our shortcomings and try to make ourselves better. What I want us to do at the beginning of this year, however, is to do this very differently. I want us, before we assess the shortcomings, and of course that needs to be done, and it is very good to be done. It needs to be done because we need to look at the things and make ourselves better. What we need more, though, is we start with thanksgiving. When you and I sit down at this time of the year, and we put a plan together, do we start by making a wish list of what we want to achieve? Or do we start by giving thanks first for where we are? For who we are? Even with our failings, Lord, I thank you for making me yours. I thank you for giving me this life and this spirit. I thank you for blessing me with everything that is in my life. I thank you even for the things I get wrong, because they're an opportunity for me to make myself better. I don't want to stay wrong. I don't want to stay bad. I don't want to stay sinful. I don't want to continue to fall short, but I give thanks for who I am. I mean, God loves us for who we are. And God is perfect. So why wouldn't or shouldn't or can't I love myself? Because if we start with those two things, loving God and loving ourselves as the creation of God, we're going to deal with ourselves very differently. We're going to live our lives very differently. We're going to subject ourselves to very different things. If I love and respect myself as God's creation, I'm going to be very careful with the choices I make. I'm going to be careful what I choose and how I live. I'm not going to want to corrupt myself. I'm not going to want to tarnish a beautiful creation. I'm not much of a tourist. Actually, I'm a really bad tourist. When I travel anywhere, I'm in and out, whatever I'm doing. But when I traveled to Moscow recently with His Holiness to visit the Patriarch there, one of the things they did is they took us to the Hermitage Museum. Now, I'm not a museum person. I know this makes me sound very uncultured, and I'm sorry, but I'm not. You know, I'd much rather, if I'm going somewhere, spend my time dealing with people rather than dealing with antiquities. But I had to do the formal thing and walk around. And I'm so glad I did. Because one of the things I saw was the beautiful Rembrandt of the prodigal son returning. And if you've just Google it when you get home, if you've never seen it, it is a beautiful painting. Now, imagine you have this painting. Right? It's a Rembrandt. Rembrandt painted it with his own hand. His mind, his thoughts, his aspirations, his creativity came out through his hand onto this campus and now is there for all to see. And you have this thing. You would take incredible measures to keep it safe. People who have very expensive antiquities and possessions go to great lengths to secure them, and so they should. And you'd be very careful that nothing came anywhere near it. It'd be in exactly the right lighting, exactly the right temperature. Nothing would come near it to tarnish it, right? We are the work of God. God, out of His mind, through His creativity, through His hand, has made us. And we are there, like that painting, for all to see. And we are entrusted with ourselves. We're also entrusted with others, but first and foremost, we're entrusted with ourselves. do I look after myself as I would after a mere painting? Do I look at the conditions I'm in? Do I look at what comes near me? Am I careful that I'm not tarnished? Am I careful that I'm kept pure and authentic to the best of my ability for as long as I can be? That's what I need to do. That's the starting point. The starting point for self-assessment is you are beautiful. That is your starting point. Not that I'm corrupt, not that I'm sinful, not that I'm hopeless, not that I'm horrible, no. Starting point is, God, I thank you for creating me as your image and likeness and making me who I am. And if we use that as our starting point this year, if we use that as who we are, and we assess ourselves with that backdrop, then it's going to be a matter of, okay, it's beautiful, but let's remove this speck. And let's get rid of this scratch. And let's take away this tarnish. Rather than looking at what over time appears in my eyes to be an ugly monstrosity of my life that I look at and think, I can't do anything with this. I wish I could just scrap it and start over. We can't scrap it and start over. So many times when you look at, you know, very tragic instances of suicides and suicide attempts, it's exactly what happens. People look at this canvas and think, this is damaged beyond repair. I can't do anything with this. And so, I just give up on it. We are never beyond repair. Ever. If we looked at ourselves properly, and I don't want you to all get big egos at the end of this, please, because that would be very counterproductive. But if we look at what I'm saying here within the context, you will realize that there is far more beauty to you than ugliness. There is far more good than bad, righteousness than sin. Yes, we sin. Yes, we do things wrong. Yes, we make mistakes. But in the scheme of things, because of who we are and how we are, look deeper. In all my years of service, and I've dealt with more people than I can even think to count, I probably have met one person, possibly two people, who I would consider of a level of evil that would concern me. In all those people. And even those people, when they do things, I'm sure they justify them in their own minds, in their own way, for their own purposes. But everything else, every person I've met, every person I've seen, every confession I've taken, every situation I've been in, there is no one where you can't look beneath the surface and see such a beauty that you see how God works. No one. And so we need to look like that at ourselves at the beginning of this year. And if we don't look like that at ourselves, we're not going to be able to look like that at others. So, all I want to share with you at the beginning of this year is, by God's grace, you are who you are. You have been made beautiful and as perfect as possibly can be for humans by God. He's made you in His image and likeness. Now, we corrupt that through our own lives. We corrupt it through our own choices. But I also want you to remember the words of the Father to His older Son. Son, you are with me always. God is always there with us and for us. And even if we go the path of the younger son, far, far away, He's there waiting for us to return. But He says to us, you are with me always, and all I have is yours. His righteousness is ours for the taking. His faithfulness is ours for the taking. His everlasting life is ours for the taking. And His kingdom is prepared for us. All we need to do is look at ourselves, assess our lives, give thanks for the beauty, and fix what might be an obstacle to that beauty in our lives as we live them today. And glory be to God forever. Amen.